Blog Talk Radio.
Exhausted, burnt out, sick, ill, you name it, I had it, because I was down to the ground. I think I almost passed out on the show, and that was ridiculous, terrible. But anyway, you are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday. It is football season, yo. It is football season. Once again, it is football season, and we just had week one go by. And it was some great stuff, some big surprises, some blowouts, some unexpected wins, unlimited number of roster adjustments and things. It was football weekend, but you know what? Sometimes you wouldn't even know that, because it was so quiet on the chat board, so quiet on the Facebook, so quiet everywhere, so quiet on the on the tweets and the Twitters and the bidders and whatever else rhymes with that. But it was quiet, yo. What should have been a big weekend for women's football turned out to be almost an April Fool's joke, as I borrowed that from my super duper producer, BJ, because we just didn't have it, y'all. We didn't make the big push. We didn't make the big play. Women's football, we got an F this weekend. I'm just going to throw it out there. We got this F this weekend because it wasn't in full effect. But anyway, that's why I'm rocking the show each and every Monday night, you know, to promote, to talk about, to have an avenue for those who play the sport, to coach the sport, an opportunity to speak up, talk up, you know, stand up for your rights, do what you got to do. You know, that's just like my song, never question what we are, because women's football is what we do. You know, I kind of, you know, twist the words up a little bit, but again, the theme song that I have that I live by is by Public Enemy that you just heard, and that is just something that just pumps me up and gets me going, you know what I'm saying, because Chuck D's one bad, watch your mouth, Coach Lee, bad mamma jamma, you know what I'm saying, and like I said, I live by that song, I die by that song, I make it happen through the song, and like I said, that's what we should be doing in women's football. Again, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So that's my motto as well. If I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So, again, you know, step your game up, step your game up again. You rocking four quarters with Coach Lee. That's me in the place to be. And we're going to go ahead and make our let our sponsors be known so that we can move forward with the show. Let's see here. We got Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. You know what the slogan is. We all should be rocking Adidas. We got 22nd Fitness, you know, official fitness program of the Las Vegas Showgirls and this show. For those that don't know, 22nds.com, again, is a great place to be. It's where the fit get fitter. We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official football equipment company of the Women's Football Camp and Conference. Again, where the good get better. Who else am I missing? Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. And those are the people that bring you this show. Like I said, hey, they know how to rock the four quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday. We don't care if it's Super Bowl Monday. We don't care if it's Super Bowl March Madness. We don't care. We still rock our show. We don't care if we're sick. We're still going to give it to you like the way we give it to you. But anyway, let's move on because we got a great show tonight. We got some pretty decent topics this evening with the help of some of you wonderful people out there in football world. We're going to talk about, in quarter number one, reviewing this weekend's scores. Remember, quarter number two, we're going to talk about what I see so far in 2011, just by week one. Number three, how does it feel to be playing or coaching against ex-players / coaches? And topic number four is hot topics on the Neem board. So we got a lot of hot topics on the Neem board, yo. Yo, for those who don't know what the Neem board is, it's the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com. That's women's, that's WomensTackleFootball Group, GROUP.neem. That's NING.com. It is the number one information board for women's football, not only in the state of Nevada, but the country of the USFA, the entire world, for all that I can say, because we got 2,215 members on the Neem board talking about nothing but women's football, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, I know, because I run the show, so I know what they talk about. But anyway, my intro is a little bit long. We didn't got 10 minutes into the show, and I still haven't even started the show, so let's kick this bad boy off. And it's a deep kick, because that's what we talk about here on Four Quarters of Coach Lee. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's deep. You know, sometimes it's just deep. You know, it touches you down from the head to the toe and back to the head again. But anyway, let's move on. We got quarter number one. Quarter number one. Reviewing this weekend's scores. Man, have y'all seen the scores from this weekend? Oh, my goodness. It was some good, some bad, and some ugly, as I speak on. You know, but again, I like to recognize those who are in the Neem board. We got Biker Nan, BJ, Coach Colbert, Coach Lunatic, Dino, myself, Don, Jr., Food. Who else is over there in the Neem board? We got Jackie Price, Jennifer, JK. We got Lone Star Mustang. We got Coach Hasley. We got Mia, Dr. Ben, as I call her. We got Paul Hamilton. We got S. Mark from New York. We got Tanya Petaway. And we are all rolling, yo. 18 deep in the Neem board as we speak. But have y'all seen the scores? Well, you know, you probably haven't. Because, like I said, when I started the show, my biggest complaint was I didn't know who was going where, who was playing whom, outside of the fact that I had to get word from others. You know, there was no tweeting, no tweeting, no emailing, no Facebooking. It was just quiet on the Western Front. I think I was posting up scores as I heard them before, you know, the official scores were done, which was fine. Like I said, the Women's Tackle Football Group.neem.com board is not the official score book, but you know what I'm saying? We did the best that we could this weekend to help cover the games, but we need everybody to get out there and get somebody to tweet, do something, Facebook, you know, during the game. You know, that would be great. But, yeah, we finally got around to, you know, to the famous scores. And like I said, it was some surprising things this weekend. There were some not-so-surprising things. you know, but it was some excitement. There was football going on, yo. Did I say there was football? Yes, I did. All right, in week one, we had the New England Nightmares, 0. Northeastern Nitros, 13. Once again, another big surprise there. That had to be one of my upset specials this week due to the fact that the Northeastern Nitros are freshly dipped, freshly new. Nightmare had been around. We had the Sharks, 34. Liberty Bells, 20. Big surprise there was that WFA Player of the Year, Odessa Jenkins, have now become a shark, from a Mustang to a shark. She was a land animal. Now she is a ocean dweller, as I call it, a shark. That caught me by surprise. Like I said, it was going to be some new things this week, and I kind of knew there was going to be some new things, but I didn't know that my girl Odessa was heading to the Sharks. But you know what? Life moves on. We had the Boston Militia at the D.C. Divas, and we had the Divas on top, 35-20, which was a good game from what I heard when I was listening to. Not a big surprise, but you know, I think all the good teams on any given Saturday are willing and chilling and possibly can get beat. So that was a great game. Again, you know, Divas 35, Militia 20. One of the big surprises in my eyes was the Columbus Comets defeating the Cleveland Fusion. Not that they beat them. That wasn't a big surprise, but the score being 16-13. Two folds to that. I know that the Columbus Comets were reigning national champs out of the WFA last year, winning championship game. And they had a hard time with the Fusion. I don't know if it was the weather or what. It might have been chilly willy out there, but that was a surprise to me with the score being that close. Like I said, good for women's football. I'm saying surprise, that's all. We had the Pittsburgh Passion in the inter-city or interstate competition with the Pittsburgh Force. Passion takes over 30-0. We had the West Michigan Mayhem, 20. Cincinnati Sizzle, 0. Another big surprise was the Toledo Ring, 61. Dayton Diamond, 0. Haven't seen Toledo put that many points up in a few years, and I've been around for a while, and 61 points for Toledo is an awful lot. Hopefully they got some big improvement over there, which looks great. We had the Kentucky Karma lose out to the Detroit Dark Angels, 14-0. We had the Gulf Coast Riptide, 64. Atlanta Heartbreakers, 6. Jacksonville Dixie Blues, 52. Savannah Sabres, 6. The Carolina Region Wolves, 0. The Miami Fury, 62. We got the Central Florida Anarchy, 0. Tampa Bay Pirates, 6. The Kansas City, like we had another inner city rival going on, Kansas City Tribe, 70, Kansas City Spartan, 0. We had the Wisconsin Wolves, 20, Wisconsin Dragons, 12. Another great showdown in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. Heard that it went into triple overtime. I'm for sure it went into double, but I think it went into triple overtime. Somebody hit me up, let me know. We had the Lone Star Mustangs, defending WFA champ, 16, Austin Outlaws, 0. The New Orleans Blaze, 0. Houston Power, 40. We had the Spokane Scorn, 0. And congratulations to the Utah Blitz for their first ever victory in Blitz history, 40. The biggest eye shocker to me, Bay Area Bandits, 53. Los Angeles Amazons, 0. I know my boy is starting all over again with the Amazons, but I didn't see 53-0 up there on there. That's all I got to say on that one. Like I said, he ain't running, he ain't hiding. We know. Got to start from scratch. Hey, got to take that butt whooping once in the blue moon. You know, it's been a while, and I know if I talk to Duncan all weekend long, so I can speak to it. Oh, I love you too. We had the SoCal Scorpion, 16. The San Diego Steam, 0. And the last game on the list here was the Tulsa Eagles, 0. and the Little Rock Wildcats, 44, both new teams here in the WFA. Those were a little quick review, just a quick review of what went down in the WFA. Hey, that's just how it goes sometimes. You know, but again, I think the dissatisfaction to most of the football fans out there was the fact that we're not getting the word out, updating on the scores, you know, with all this social media going on, and we still can't get it done, can't get it done right. Let me go over to the IWFL real quick. IWFL scores. Missed it. Hot dogs. There we go. Let's go to the scoreboard. I think it's on the scoreboard. Computer a little slow, or IWFL ain't listing the actual scores. And like I said, I try to go to the official website to make sure that the scores that I have are correct. So I can always go back to, you know, to the kneeling board, because the kneeling board, definitely, you know, we got eyes on out there. We can see. That's what's so important about the kneeling board, so beautiful about the kneeling board. Everybody's input is appreciated and wanted. So let me go over here. I know I got something listed here. Someone's telling me that the IWFL scores, it was an official week. I can't say that, you guys. Once you put it on schedule that it's a game going, you pull the boast and brag about it, your team's playing. No matter if it's an official week or whatever, I think if teams are involved in leagues, you should post the scores. Let me see what I got. Come on, Coach Lee. You're moving too slow. I'm here listening to my music and at the same time trying to do this at the same time. But I'm going to get over here. I know that there was some I got some action. Here we go. We had the Houston Energy take on the North Texas Knockouts. Houston Energy 50, Knockout 14. We got the Baltimore Nighthawks 36, the Georgia Peaches 0. Chattanooga Locomotion 30, Clarksville Fox 0. We did have some interleague play. We had the Arizona Assassins 71. The Tucson Monsoons, 0. We had the Seattle Majestics, 14. Portland Fighting Phillies, 0. And we had the Nebraska Stampede, 52. The Topeka Mudcats, 0. Let me see if I got any more updates. If I missed you, oh well. Blame it on the rain. Now, blame it on your website. Blame it on the fact that you're not getting the word out. That's what you can blame it on. Like I said, I do my due diligence and my studies and stuff to make sure I include everybody. And like I said, I don't like to be exclusive, but if you're not putting your stuff up, yo, you're going to get what you put up. Nothing. You know? That's just how life is. This is how life is going to be. You put in, you get what you put in. You put in that, and you get nothing. You don't put up the score, you don't get the score spoken about. You know, like I said, I'm just talking about football. As you can see, I ain't ranking about what league is the best and all that other crap. I'm just talking about football. You know, I'm like Iverson. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. You know, we're talking about football. We're talking about football. You know, the F, the O, the O, the T, the B, the A, the L. But L, it's football. It's football. All right, so, I mean, like I said, those are the things that I come across, those things that I see. But those scores, hey, it happens like that sometimes. It happens like that sometimes. And hopefully next week, you know, folks will get to tweeting, will get to Facebooking, getting stuff up so that people can know what's going on within their game, throughout other games, and also to make mention of scores at the games. I know the games on the East Coast are done before those on the West Coast, and it's good to be able to be at halftime and say, hey, such and such, such and such, and such and such and such and such, and such and such and such and such. Because that's what promoting each other is all about. Again, a lot of fans don't realize that this is nationwide. They just think it's citywide, maybe state to state, but they don't know that it's USA-wide. So, again, work on it, folks. Work on it, and work on it. I'm getting some responses on the meme board. At least tweet each quarter scores. You know, four tweets will be appreciated. You know, bare minimum should be end of the quarter. Nobody's asking to do play-by-play. I don't think we're looking for play-by-play. But it sure would look good if you could, you know, recap and do some other things. That would be so lovely. That would be so lovely. Again, that's the recap on the scores this weekend. I'm going to move on to quarter number two. Quarter number two, what I see so far in 2011, just by what I just recalled on the scores. I see a lot of parity going on. You know, I see a lot of jostling going on, and I think that's part of the reason why we're not getting a lot of word on what's going on as far as, you know, rosters are concerned, as far as, you know, tweeting and putting up film and video, because, you know, people have preseason games, people have this and that, and they still scared to put their stuff up. And I just don't understand why they would be, because at this point in time, it's all about promoting. And, you know, we're going to find film on you anyway, no matter how you look at it. You know, we're going to find film. So, again, what I see so far, again, I still see a lot of the old teams that were strong in the past are still strong to this day. But I also see some of the strong teams dipping. And it's bound to happen. But this influx of new dipping, you know, teams dipping, is not because players don't want to play. It's because players have gone on to other teams, be it within the same city, within the same state, or even having to travel out. And so, like I said, I tell people all the time, most of the power teams are 2 to 3 players away from being just an average team. And I'm pretty sure that the Mustangs felt a little bit with Odessa being gone, because she's big. She's big pickings. That's why she was the WFA Player of the Year last year. And from what I understand, I think she scored 3 touchdowns for the Sharks. So that's a deadly weapon, you know. So to win 16-0, and like I said, not to take anything away from Austin, but I know that was felt, that was missed. Being able to have your go-to girl, you definitely will miss that. Same thing with the Amazons. I mean, he's starting fresh and new with a brand new team, and you know, I'm not going to make an excuse for what the score was. But, again, when you started from scratch and you've been on top for so long time, haven't won the championship, outside division championships, but to start all over again is very difficult. And to say that the Bandits are that much better, I can't say that as of yet. Got to play somebody that's been around for a little bit, and then we can start jockeying around and finding out, you know, who's where, where's who situation. My situation, like I speak on, you know, just about every week, you know, starting from scratch. You know, our first game, we had some difficulties, a lot of mistakes. And, you know, lucky to get a win, definitely that, lucky to get a win. But we in for some difficult times. And like I said, you know, we going out there and we're going to fight, we're going to do what we got to do. Same thing with the SoCal Scorpions. Pretty much starting off with a new team, if I'm not mistaken. They got 39 out of 44 rookies this year. It's not that the old Scorpions aren't playing, they're just under a new name called the Surge now. Same thing with the X-Show girls. They're still playing, but they're playing for the legacy now. So the power of the teams have switched, you know, just down the street. And again, that's great, you know. We're progressing football, I guess, but again, where are we taking the power to? We don't know. And we won't know if those teams are going to be power teams until later on during the season, if they can hold up, if they can hang on, if they can go without injury, if they can be coached, if they can be taught, if they're willing to listen and learn, only time will tell. But like I said, so far what I see is that the teams that are experienced are going to do what they do. They're going to do their damage. And like I said, I haven't seen everybody yet, just because, you know, everybody hasn't played a preseason game. Everybody hasn't played the first week. A lot of teams will be playing next week. By the end of next week, I definitely have a open eye, a true vision on where things are going. and pretty much can predict who's going where, be it without any injuries, because women's football is that simple. Those who win, win, and those who lose, lose. Those who improve get better. Those who don't improve get worse. And you have a different sector of teams out there. So it's going to be a good season. I'm excited about it. Like I said, win, lose, or draw. I'm looking forward to 2011. All I got to say is we're going to be ready. I know that other teams are going to be ready. I know there's a lot of improvement teams here on the West Coast. I know that the Quake are looking improved just based on what I hear from the scrimmage. Again, time will tell once they get on the field. You got the Surge. You got the Assassins. You got the Legacy. You got the Blitz. Utah Blitz have also come under fire as far as being just about another rookie team. You know, a lot of the players went to the Utah Jinx team for one reason or another. But to see them get their first win, hey, you know, that's great. You know, they were just on the other end of what the scoring was on this weekend, plenty of times last year. And like I said, you get you a good core. I agree with Coach Bill today. He was all over the Ning board today talking about, you know, it's only a handful of players out here who really make the difference on the football field. Again, like I said, you take away two or three of the key players on most of the teams across the nation, the team will just be average. It's just what do those middle flight players are able to do, you know? Can they stabilize what they do, you know? Most of the best players are your skilled players, your quarterbacks, your receivers, your running backs, your, you know, your DBs, your linebackers. Haven't seen a solid team of impressive linemen all the way across the board. It might be a lineman or D lineman on the team, but I haven't seen that front four, that dominant front four. I haven't seen that dominant front five from the offensive side as of yet. I think that will create the true dynasty team until you strengthen up that line, because that's where football begins, is in the middle. You know, again, you're one drop pass away. You're one missed block away from going 1-9, going, you know, 0-8, going 4-4. So somebody asked me the other day, you know, have I seen a true women's football team dynasty? And I'm going to say, no, I have not. Have there been dynasties out there? I'm going to say yes, because they win. But they have the most dominant skill players. I haven't seen anybody with a dominant line. That's going to determine a true dynasty. So for teams out there that are looking to get better, you got to improve from the inside out. Inside out. If you got the average running back that can just hold the ball and fall for 5 yards, you can win games if you got a dominant line because they're creating the holes. But if you got the best running back in the league and they ain't got a hole to run through, you know, what good is that running back? What good is that quarterback that can throw 60 yards if they can never get a pass off? So, again, a true dynasty has not existed as of yet. I see a couple teams out there that could be leaning towards that with the mergers of a couple teams that have come together with the exiting of teams going somewhere else. It's a possibility. But as I look at the rosters, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen that dominant force line. Where whatever they do, it doesn't matter. They get yards because the line's just blocking the heck out of people. Or that D-line is shutting people down without even having to blitz. So, again, you know, those are things that I see. I just see small things out there. Again, I'll have a bigger picture this weekend once we get through the second week of the season. That way every team has had their opportunity on the field. Coaches, there's brand new coaches in the game. It's gonna be fun to see how they handle the pressure. How they make calls, how they're going to deal with the women's behaviors and attitudes. It's going to be funny to see coaches get mad that don't get mad. It's going to be funny to see coaches that get mad, not be mad. It's a whole learning process. And so just because you know your X's and O's don't mean you can coach football. Just because you know how to call plays don't mean you know how to coach football. So you know, it's going to be some funny things that occur this weekend, and I'm definitely excited to see how a lot of teams are going to handle some of those situations. And you know, hey, that's the bottom line, yo. You got to see what you see. I see what I see. What do you see? I don't see you on the meme board talking. I don't see you on the chat room talking. I don't even see you out on Facebook talking. So what do you see? What do you hear? What can it be? You know, it'd be nice if I can get a score of that basketball game on the meme board. Anybody got the score? Anybody got the score? Not that I got any money on it, but I like to see an upset. Definitely like to see an upset. All right, let me go over to the board real quick. We got a few people, you know, congratulations to Dr. Ben. They're moving over to a new stadium, bigger audience. That's great. Yes, yes. They're going to be nervous, trust me. Playing in front of a bigger crowd, the girls definitely get nervous. Yes, Coach Lunatic is talking about breaking his heart because he helped build the Warriors and he knows they lost three of the best players in the West at key spots. Definitely that. Definitely that. Again, the Warriors was a up-and-coming team from last year's success, but they're losing three key players. Four key players, Coach. You got to losing Tanya, one of your best offensive and defensive linemen. You're losing Brick, the best running back. You're losing King, the best wide receiver on the team, and you're losing quarterback McVickers. So those are four key areas that they got to improve on. And like I said, there's some stacked teams out there, and I'm loving it. It ain't nothing wrong with stacked teams. You know, everybody's asking me, how do I feel about stacked teams? Hell, do what you got to do to win. You know, I know that my boy Bill at the Memphis Soul got his little game plan where he's moving folks into Memphis. You know, he got a whole game plan. You know, you just got to get it going on. You know, you got to do what you got to do to build your team, to win. You know, if you can offer a job, if you can offer public assistance or some food or whatever needs to be done, do it. Make your team better. Make it the best. You know, and you know, some people think it's unfair. You should only recruit within your own city. No. A true coach is going to recruit. That's why I said this is like college to me. You know. If I have the opportunity, if somebody knocks on my door saying I'm such and such and I want to come play for you, my door is wide open. What can I do to help? You know, because I want to be the best. You know, are we going to get into some issues about recruiting? We might. But if your program is tight and right, then you're going to do what you got to do. You know, the reality is ain't nobody out there paying the players. You know, if they are, then the more power to them. But the fact is that there's going to be some powerhouse teams out there. Right off the bat, I'm looking at this Central Cal War Angels. It's going to be stacked. They were already a good team last year. They're going to be stacked. Legacy, stacked. Surge, stacked. Who else is stacked here on the West? Diamonds, stacked. Mustang, stacked. Obviously, the Divas, stacked. New York Sharks, stacked. You know, I don't know about the KC Tribe, but I'm going to say it, stacked. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going to compete with whoever. It don't matter. That's called football. Outsmart them. Outcoach them. They human just like you are. You know? So anyway, I know thank you for the halftime score. Was that 20-19? Woo! Right in Butler's hand. Low scoring game. That's just how they want it. Just how they want it. But yes, it does rip the fabric right out of the teams, you know, who lose the players. But you know what? As a team that lost all his players, all that did was motivate me. All that did was make me go out and recruit the best athletes that I could. And like I said, to get that first win under our belt was great. It was a reassurance that no matter what the season outlook is, from this point on, we got a victory with the new team. So that's how I look at it. That's how I see it. And how we stack up against the other teams, I don't know yet. We'll find out this Saturday when we go up against one of the best teams, the San Diego Surge. For those that don't know, they're actually WPFL defending champs as the SoCal Scorpions in 2007. Came back last year in IWFL and had a good run. I think they missed the playoff by one game or so. I think they lost their first game to the Amazons. But, you know, they had a good run. And, hey, like I said, this is football. Hey, this ain't a bitch session. This is football. You win some, you lose some. And that's just how it goes. And that's what I told my boy Duncan. Hey, Duncan, you've been here before. You know, I've been there before. And within 2 years, we turned it around. Within 2 years, the showgirls were who they were. You know, it might not happen overnight, but guess what? It don't happen. But anyway, yo, hey, that's just what I see. That's what I know. And like I said, after this weekend, I definitely will be able to come back to the next show and tell you what's going down and how it's going down. All right, so let's move on, because that actually hits me up to the next quarter, which I had to wet my whistle real quick. Nestle's Pure Life Water, purified water. Nestle's, get you some, because I got some. Yeah, that was just a cheap shout out to Nestle's. Nestle's ain't doing anything for me. I'm just drinking some water. But anyway, let's move on. Quarter number three. What was I talking about in quarter number three? Yes, I do drink water. Believe it or not, I just had 4 honey buns for a little snack, and I had to drink something. I didn't have my milk. If I would have had some milk, I would definitely be doing a milk is good commercial. But since I didn't have any milk, I had to do a water commercial. Let's see. Quarter number three. How does it feel to be playing or coaching against ex-players/coaches? Ooh, that was a great topic that somebody brought up to me. I haven't gotten there yet. The closest I've gotten was having a player of mine, Angelique Schultz, that plays for the Arizona Assassins now, who actually played with us for 2 years, 1, 2, 3 years, and then moved out there to Phoenix because she was finishing up her graduate program at ASU. And it kind of felt funny because when you're watching her on film, you kind of know what she can and can't do. And so, you know, it was funny trying to attack her, or not trying, but attacking her for her strength and her weaknesses and then beating her. It was fun, but it wasn't funny. You know, cause you feel bad for her because you know deep down inside she wants to be on your team. And it's just funny. You know, afterwards it was all good. But, you know, to put it on them like we did last year, you know, hey, we just do what we do. You know, we're not trying to beat just you. We're trying to beat the other team. And her response was, it just didn't feel the same, coach. You guys came out in your uniforms and oh, I just wanted to be in line, and I seen all my girls over there and all the coaches, and, you know, it's just a funny feeling. And like I said, that's the closest I've gotten. But this year there's going to be quite a few of us coaches coaching up against our ex-players, quite a few coaches coaching up against some ex-coaches. And believe it or not, I have a hatred towards my ex-players, to be honest. That's just honest truth. You know, it wasn't a pretty situation or separation. So my hatred is really like my motivation in this day and age. Now, I won't get a chance to play them until June 18th. But somebody asked me, are you rooting for them? Hell no. Why would I be rooting for them? I don't want them to have success. Just like they don't want me to have success. That's why they laugh. You know? It was kind of funny seeing them in the stands, you know, and honestly they say that they were in support of, but come on, be real. You went out there to see the team lose. I would have. If the shoe was on the other foot, I was going to cheer for the other team. That's just being point blank. Point honest. And like, and that's just me. That's how I do it on the show. I don't shuffle around the topic here. Yes, I do have a hatred for the team that's in my city. Will I help them if needed? Yes, I'll do that for what's right for women's football. But I'm not wishing upon great success for them. I'm not wishing upon them to make the playoffs. I'm not wishing upon them to win a championship. I'd be a sucker butt if I did that. You know? So it has to be that way. It's business and it's personal, you know, in that thief. I'm pretty sure there's other teams that feel the same way. I'm pretty sure that the Scorpions feel the same about the Surge. I'm sure, you know, the Dallas Diamonds and the Mustangs, you know, on cover it might not show that, but trust me, underneath it all, you want to be the best. You don't want success to come amongst the team that's next to you. You know, you just don't. That's called rivalry. That's what the whole purpose of rivalry is all about. It is the hatred towards the other team, not in the fashion that you hate their guts and hope that they die. No, it ain't like that, yo. It's the fact that you want to be better than them. You want to prove a point. You know, the greatest satisfaction to me this past weekend, or the weekend before last, was looking up in the stands after the game was over with and seeing a lot of the disappointed faces. Some said they were happy, but they were disappointed because it was done without them. My greatest satisfaction was, see, I told you the system works. It don't matter who's in the system. As long as they do what's asked of them within the system, we're going to win. And so to go out there with only one true veteran on my team and three players that played with me the year before and 24 other players, you know, I had six players hurt, and win a game without the so-called superstars, the so-called All-Americans, was great. It was like me slapping each and every one of them in the face, like, I told you. You know, I felt good. And I told my team that. That was the greatest satisfying victory, even though it was ugly. 16, I mean, it wasn't even 16, it was 12-8. It was the greatest feeling in my coaching career, because that's never happened to me before. I've never had a whole team exit and go play somewhere else. That's never happened to me. But it just validated the things that we do. It validated the things that we've done. You know, so again, that's how I feel. I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel. You know, again, this is, you know, four quarters of Coach Lee, and you rock it all every Monday night, and I give it to you like I give it to you. But like I said, the difference between that game and me playing against some ex-players that left on a different accord due to the fact of school, education, work, or just had to move because of the economy, you know, I wish them all the luck in the world. I'm not wishing nothing to my other team that left. H to the E to the LL, no, as I put it. But that creates rivalry, you know. You win some, you lose some. And that would be the test. In that game, will it make one team better than the other? Well, obviously the score is going to tell you who the better team is. But who got what to prove the most? You know, who got to prove the most? The team that left the team, or the coaches that stayed to coach new people? You know, I'm an underdogger. My whole thing is, if you play me, you beat me, you're supposed to beat me. Big deal. You play me and you lose to me, now that's a big deal. Because you're supposed to be better. Your system's supposed to be better. You know? So when somebody asked me that question, I say, well, I haven't gotten there yet, but as I start thinking about it, you know, over the last 20 minutes, you know, yes, I have some bitterness. You know, I hope they succeed to the point where they field the team. I hope that other teams succeed by going to practice. I hope they succeed by nobody getting hurt. But I don't wish them to win a game, including a game against me. You know? That's a true coach. I'm not going to sit up here and candy coat it. You know? There's teams out there that are better than what we are. There's teams that were better than what we were last year. The players have to understand, What did you do to get better throughout the year? Were you missing practice? Did you really care? If we're that good, why aren't you making those tackles? If you're that good, why you ain't catching the ball? If you're that good, why you not blocking? Again, coaches only make play calls. Players play. Coaches coach. You know? So, again, I really haven't really got in depth with, you know, me playing against another team, I mean, my ex-team or ex-coaches. But I can feel it coming on. I feel my hair on my arm standing up and the little hair that I have on my head standing up because I want to win. I'm not going there to lay down. You don't think I got something in my sleeve? Come on now. A good coach is going to know everything about the players they've coached. The good, the bad, the ugly. That's why I use that slang all the time, the good, the bad, the ugly. Because I know you like the back of my hand. And I hope that the other coaches that go against their players know their players like the back of their hand. Know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Attack them. Attack them with their strength. Attack them with their weakness. Don't be scared of them. So that's my advice. Roll what you roll with. And as long, for me, as long as I got 30 players who want to listen, I got 30 players who want to be coached up, 30 players who are willing to run through a wall for me and my coaching staff, that's all I can ask for. The ball bounces funny ways. People make plays under different circumstances. Some people choke. Some people come through. At the end of the 60 minutes, hey, it's the end of the game, and you would know at that point in time who the winning team is. Does that mean they're the best team? No. Does that mean they're the better team? No. But for that moment, they won the game. You know, that's why we played the game. I love it. I love it. And I love each one of you guys out there. You know, can you rock your four quarters with Coach Lee on a March Monday Madness super duper championship game? And we fat up here up in the on the Ning board. You know what I'm saying? We fat up on the Ning board. And I love it. You know what I'm saying? That means we're growing. That means the show is growing. You know what? Tell your friends, tell your teammates, tell your coaches that Coach Lee got it going on. He would answer any question you ask. You put it out there, he would answer it. He would answer it. Because you know what? What I got to hide, you know? I ain't got nothing to hide. But anyway, hey, that's how what I feel about, you know, coaching against ex-teams and ex-coaches. I think the challenge against ex-coaches is great due to the fact that, yes.
All right. Thanks. Hey, are we still doing that clothes thing? Oh. Alright. Okay, no problem.
Alright, so again.
Actually, my wife might bring it tonight. What she think of me? Alright.
So what we gonna do is moving on. Let's move it on. Let's go quarter number four. Because I'm not quite sure if anybody wanted to jump on board, BJ. Sorry about that. But I'm pretty sure if somebody wanted to jump on board, you would hit me up in the Ning board. Quarter number four, hot topics, baby, hot topics. We're talking about the H, the O, the T, topics on the Ning board. Again, the most beautiful thing about the Ning board is you can be you on the Ning board, and you can pose any question, anything, and, you know, people have the right. People have the right to respond to you. As we speak, I got three members that just joined the Ning board. Again, you guys are doing one heck of a job out there promoting the Ning board, and I'm hoping that each one of you guys who had home games were able to put in the Ning board, womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com, in your brochures. I mean, like I said, it's just one line. Nobody's asking for a big old picture or anything. Just a one-liner. And for those who haven't, who already printed up, hey, make mention at your games, you know, between quarters and half times and timeouts and stuff. Again, it's one great thing to have one location where everybody can come chat it up and talk about women's football. It's not the Dion Lee board. It's not the WFA board. It's not the IWFL board. It's not the WSFL board. It's not the independent board. It's the Women's Tackle Football Group board. And I want you guys to take ownership of this thing. All right? So anyway, I just added those two new people, which is great. But let's see what some of the hot topics were. And, of course, you know, people are talking about blowouts. Blowouts, blowouts, and blowouts. I've covered this before, but here we go. This is, matter of fact, this is Cedric Hoyt, who actually coached with the Showgirls back in 2006, yo. And he's out on in the Baltimore area now. And considering the history of blowouts in football, 50, 60, 70-point wins this weekend included, what message do you think sends the general public? Does it make the whole game look bad or just those individual teams? If you are a new fan and your local team just got beat by 60-plus points, what are you going to think right now? Nowadays, fans and players alike are fickle, and if you don't win or at least compete, they will go elsewhere. They will certainly rather attend a 4-3 baseball or 12-10 lacrosse game than a 70-0 football game, especially if you're on the losing end. Should leagues think about some sort of a mercy sportsmanship rule? What effect do you think blowouts have, good, bad? Just wondering. And I think there were 30 proposed questions or answers or statements to this. And I'm not going to go into detail with them, but I'm going to help answer some of these questions. Considering women's football blowouts, what do you think sends to the general public? Well, the general public don't know crap about women's football, for one. So no matter what the score is, if nobody's tweeting, if nobody's Facebooking, if nobody's getting the word out, emailing, or doing press releases, the general public don't even know, don't even care about what the score was, no matter if their team won or lost, to be honest. Again, that's what I do on this show. I'm straightforward and honest. So again, general public don't know crap about women's football. Does it make the whole team look bad or just those individual teams? I have to say those individual teams, first of all, because, again, what are those individual teams doing to get beat that bad? And like I said, I can't blame it on the organization. I can't blame it on just the coaches. I got to blame it back on the players because the players play. Are they coming to practice? Are they doing what the coaches ask? Are they listening? You know, the main thing, are they coming to practice? Not just 12 to 15 coming to practice. If it's a roster of 40, are 39 out of 40 coming to practice? Because that's what it takes. And most women's football teams are getting anywhere between 6 to 9 hours a week of football training. Okay? So, again, it looks bad on the individual teams, but it goes back to the players. And then he mentioned, if I'm a fan of a team that just got blown out by 60, what am I thinking right now? To be honest, they better take their ass to practice is what I'm thinking as a fan of the game. You know, again, there's a lot of mistakes, a lot of jitterness. Again, my perception of women's football is totally different. You know, have they been playing since they were 5 and 6 years old and now they're 24, 28, and 30 and 40? No. So, again, I have to have some leeway in the fact that, hey, they got to learn the game. So as a true fan of football, if it looked like football and it smelled like football and there's things that they can work on, I'll stick with it. I don't care if my team lost. He asked about they'd rather attend baseball games, 4-3 and 12-10 lacrosse games. Not necessarily. Again, fans won't come if they don't know. Just because you build it don't mean they're going to show. You got to build it. You got to promote it. You got to flyer it. You got to poster it. You got to tweet it. You got to Facebook it. You got to email it. You got to do a whole bunch of things. So just because somebody say, I got a game Saturday, don't mean people are coming. You got to entice them to come. You know, what are you doing to get them to come? It's not about the score. It's about getting people in the stands in a quality game. I know when I'm going up against a better team than me, period. You know, but if it's sloppy and things, then there's those things I can control. I can control those things. But, again, it goes back to practice. Should leagues think about some mercy rules? There are mercy rules out there. Matter of fact, there's a mercy rule in the WFA, which means the losing team, if they choose to go ahead and say, you know, we lost, the score is going to be automatically 40-0. It's going to be a running clock, and the team that's winning, be it 28 points ahead or more,
you know, have to take out the starters. But again, I'm not a merciful guy as far as if I'm getting my butt kicked. If I'm getting my butt kicked, kick my butt all the way to instill a lesson in the girls or a lesson to my team, because it's something that we're not doing. Be it coming to practice is why we're getting blown out the way we're getting blown out. So I can always use that. I never quit. I'm never a quitter. I'm never going to say I throw in the red flag or the white flag. No, that's not in my game. So if I lose 71-0, it's a reason why we lost 71-0. Players and coaches ain't at practice, bottom line. You know, do I like the mercy rule? Yes and no. Because as a fan, I paid my money. I don't want to see a game be done at halftime. I've heard a game had to end at halftime due to injuries and whatever. That's just part of the game, you guys. You know, yes, what's about the safety of the women? Well, as soon as you sign on the dotted line, as soon as you say you want to play football, guess what? You already injured yourself by signing your name. I just think that goes back down to players coming to practice and coaches coaching up. A lot of injuries can be prevented if it's taught correctly. You know, how can you, you know, say that, Coach Lee? You know, ankle injury, knee injury, all that. Yeah, those things happen. But the proper techniques of tackling could definitely prevent a lot of injury. Just teaching the women how to fall can prevent injury. And that sounds silly, but yes, you have to teach the women how to fall. Everybody want to put their little bitty chicken arm out there to hold them up, themselves up, and 20 other people on top of them. Ain't happening. Ball roll, drop on the shoulder, and get up to live and play another play. All right? What effect do blowouts have? The blowout is the team that's getting blown out. If you got quitters on your team, they're going to quit, and they ain't going to play no more. That's the bottom line. Those who want to play are going to be there. That's the good and the bad. So, again, I just want to hit that real quick. You know, blowouts was a top subject. Again, hit it up on the name board. It's on there under discussions. It's titled called Blowout. Go over there and voice your opinion. That's what the name board is all about. And like I said, yo, my show go by so fast. I must be having fun. You know what I'm saying? It is 8 o'clock here on the West Coast, and I am about to get off the radio and off work all at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I wish everybody out there a good weekend, good luck weekend. And like I said, go kick some ass, go hit somebody, go knock them down. Be all you can be. Come back next week. Let's talk about it. Like I said, we got shows on Sunday. Call up. Report what you got to report. It was a good game, bad game, outstanding players. We got to be the reporters. We got to be the MCs of the streets. You know, that's how rap evolved. You know what I'm saying? They were the griot and the voice of the neighborhood. We got to be the voice of our neighborhood, the voice of women's football. It starts at womenstacklefootballgroup.com, and it ends at womenstacklefootballgroup.com. And like I said, you got to spread the word. I'm your boy, Coach Lee, and I'm out of here just that quick. Peace. Question what I am, God knows. Cause it's coming from the heart. What I got, better get some shit on up. Hustler of culture. Snake bitten, been spit in the face. But the rhymes keep fitting. Respect me.